Thank you all so much for meeting with me. I'm here with two members of the Blind Corn Liquor Pickers. Say your names.
Beth Walker.
And?
Travis Young.
All right. Okay, so we're here tonight. We're at the Burl, and you have your CD release. Tell me about that.
Well, it's 5 years in the making, right? How long? Seven.
I think it's been six. Well, the last CD was 2012.
Okay.
So
it's been, so yeah, do the math. That's six years.
Okay. Well, yeah, 6 years in the making. I love it. It's of the three CDs I've been on with Blind Corn, this one, I'm like, oh, not that I don't love the other two. They both have sentimental and just cherished memories behind the songs and making them. But this one, there's just something really special behind it. And I think it's because it took the 7 years that it did, you know, new members coming in, us really honing in on songs that makes it shine the way that it does.
I think we're a band that like wants to, part of it is that we want to, part of it is that it happens inevitably to us, but like we end up reinventing our sound like constantly, mm-hmm, as the lineup grows or changes. And we've been through a lot of lineups over the years. And this, you know, once again, if you're looking at the album that we made in 2012 and comparing it to this album that just came out, I mean, there are some key differences in the personnel, and that is largely what shaped the sound, in just the spirit of the new members, and, you know, their voices, and the fact that I think, some of the members who've been in the band, like Beth, for a long time, have sort of come forward more as songwriters. And then, you know, we've had one in particular new member of the band, Jory Bowling, has brought his voice to it, as a songwriter and as a singer, and that colors the album a lot too.
Nice. Okay, so tell me, keep going there about the process of creating songs as a band.
Well, for a long time, Travis and Joel were our songwriting team. And I was very blessed coming into Blind Corn that Travis was such an amazing lyricist, and he was just like, sing these songs. And I was like, well, heck yeah. But I feel like even then, when they brought him to the band, they, with me giving him a voice, they take direction then. And then when we brought in our drummer with Blind Corn, that was a huge game changer with how songs sound. And then with each drummer that we changed, they each give their own feel. And like he said, the rotating members in general, they all add something to it. Thomas, who was brought in as our drummer, moved to Nashville, Ben Vogelpohl, and we brought in Thomas thinking Ben was going to stay in Nashville, but Ben never quit. So then Thomas was just like this, he can play bass, he's awesome on harmonies, he does percussion with us, he just fills in these little spots and has this unique style that it just makes it, everything sound just a little like, oh, what is going on there, you know? So there's,
yeah, and he's super trained too, like that's like part of it is Thomas is like one of the few of us who's like actually legitimately musically trained, and so he kind of prides himself on raising the bar for everybody.
Nice.
And you can hear him what I think is probably his greatest contribution to the album in a moment would be the percussion breakdown on Shelter Away is like Thomas's genius at work. Like if you want to hone in on something, but he switches around, he plays keyboards, he plays percussion, he plays drums. Bass is actually his primary instrument, although he usually doesn't play that with us. And he sings and does backup vocals. So yeah, I mean, like the influence of new young people that we find to bring in changes the direction of the band, and we roll with that. You know, we always just roll with that, and the sound shifts and changes. And like right now, I mean, it just strikes me listening to this record, like how far away it is from where we started 18 years ago when we were like a four piece with acoustic guitar, upright bass, banjo and mandolin, like trying to play essentially traditional bluegrass.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what we were going for back then. Yeah. We started out trying to do that, and we were like, okay, well, we kind of come across as phonies doing that, and we started shifting, and like from there, like now we're like this, you know, prog grass, bluegrass, rock, you know, jam
country,
you know, yeah, thing that really sounds very different from song to song with multiple vocalists and multiple songwriters. And
yeah,
what a long, strange trip it's been.
Yeah, yeah. That's quite a evolution.
Mm.
Nice. Okay, so you covered a little bit about how you all started. Is anyone, who are the original four of the four?
Well, there's probably an original lineup that isn't even one that was ever recorded. Mm-hmm. But skipping that, go into like the very sort of the first like album that we put out would have been like me with Joel Sardinus on mandolin and Tom Fassis on acoustic guitar and Todd Anderson on acoustic bass, right? The Doghouse bass. And Todd was the lead singer, although Joel would sing quite a few songs as well. And Todd was our lead singer for our first two records.
Okay.
So the one that just came out is our fifth.
Okay. Okay. The first, that's what I was just gonna ask.
Yeah, the first two, Todd was the lead singer, and he kind of sounded like early Elvis, like early Sun Records Elvis.
Yeah.
And he played like the Doghouse bass and just slapped it.
Nice.
Like a maniac.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so like, he was a very, you know, unique front man. I mean, so when he left the band, he was impossible to replace.
Yeah.
It's like, how do you replace this guy who's a bass player, but he's also kind of a percussionist, and he's also our lead singer at the same time.
Yeah.
It really took three people to replace him.
Wow.
It did. Yeah. We didn't realize it took three at first. We brought in two.
Brought in a bass player and then me on vocals.
Okay.
But then it never got that, like, Todd is so amazing with the percussion he brings on the bass, mm-hmm. that it really, we really needed a drummer to get that, like,
wow,
you know,
yeah, I think
to drive the songs.
The third album should have had drums and it didn't.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, that says a lot about Todd Anderson. It took three musicians.
That's impressive.
One.
Yeah. Yeah. That's impressive.
He's actually playing with the Solid Rocket Boosters tonight.
Oh, yeah, wow. So this is a big reunion.
It is.
Oh,
yeah.
Cool.
And Tom Fassis is also going to send in with the Solid Rocket Boosters.
Oh, yeah, wow.
So two of the other two original members, like, join us every year at Moonshiner's Ball with the Solid Rocket Boosters.
Okay.
And then they're also here tonight for this show.
Will they sit in with you all a little bit, maybe? A little reunion?
I don't know if we'll do that or not. I mean, they've got I don't know where they're going afterwards, so that's still to be seen. But
yeah, we try not to put too much on the opening act, like, hey, you got to
stick
around. We hope that they do, but you know, and we really want to stick to our album songs tonight. Pretty much all we're playing tonight is off the album. We have one cover,
okay,
and then one throwback, so we can bring them back on the throwback from the last, but nothing's been discussed, so
cool,
but they're good enough where they could just get on the stage and be like, hey. Another thing is we already have eight people on stage, so it's like, hey, sound guy.
We take up a lot of space.
Sound guy, we're going to add one more. Is that okay? Sound guys hate us, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you mentioned Moonshiner's Ball. Tell me a little bit about that.
So Moonshiner's Ball started 5 years ago, I think. It was, the idea was that we had this, like, amazing group of people that would come out to the shows, this sort of family that had come up with us in the scene. We were playing like regular once a month shows at Al's Bar then. Mm-hmm. And like, it would draw all these people out that like we loved, but we were also kind of getting tired of that. We'd been doing that for a long time, and we were getting older and had kids, and some of us had kids, and we were getting tired of like doing the every month thing. And I think the crowd was getting older and weren't necessarily like up for coming out all the time anymore either. And so it was like, well, how do we, like, you know, how do we corral this amazing thing that's going on, this amazing scene, all these people that we love, how do we get them all into one place in an environment that we want them to be in, right, to hang out and enjoy each other? And so that's, I think, was the original idea for Moonshiner's Ball, plus the sort of secondary idea was, and this seems dated, very dated now, because like everything's changed in Kentucky in 5 years since we first started the festival. But when we started the festival, the mission of the festival was to like lift up the Kentucky music scene, because we had been in it for 10 years and like had never felt like we'd gotten any support from much of anybody. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there are certainly a few people who had like had our backs, but like largely like, you know, venues and festivals would use like local talent, you know, for filler.
Yeah.
You know, or they wouldn't pay them. Mm-hmm. You know, they wouldn't pay bands back then. Like, you'd play local festivals and they'd be like, well, you should play this just for the exposure.
Mm-hmm.
Or they would just, you know, use local bands when they couldn't find national bands to play spots. There wasn't a place like the Borough then that, like, really worked on, like, making names for local artists.
Yeah.
They all thought local artists. And I think that Kentucky thought that about itself to some degree at that time. Like, Kentucky didn't think that anything from Kentucky was worthwhile. And I think a lot of that started to shift, oddly to me, like a lot of that started to shift with the whole like Kentucky Kicks Ass campaign, and like that campaign sort of started people thinking differently, like, well, maybe Kentucky's actually a cool thing.
Mm-hmm.
And then like Kentucky artists broke out.
Yeah.
Right. And you had like Sturgill and Stapleton and then Tyler, and like Kentucky artists started to like become big nationally. And once Kentucky artists became big nationally, then people started to think, oh, well, maybe Kentucky artists are actually, like, really great.
Mm-hmm.
You know? I mean, it didn't occur to people here until it actually happened.
Yeah.
And and at one point in time, I think it was really bad.
Yeah. That, like, people usually left for Nashville or somewhere else.
Yeah, people would just have to leave because you couldn't make a name for yourself out of this place. And a lot of it was because locals didn't think anything of Kentucky bands.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, places like Texas where people think that everything that comes out of Texas is the best that there is.
Yeah.
You know, they believe that. But, like, Kentucky didn't have that. Kentucky had a complex.
Yeah. Yeah, we
do. You know, it was like, oh, yeah, we're shit. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're not, you know, it's Kentucky, you know, it's a mess or whatever. Yeah. And that, you know, and so that was a big mission of the festival early on, was to do that. And, you know, I like to think we played some small role in, like, Kentucky music becoming a thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's now it's like I look back at those early mission statements. I'm like, wow, Kentucky music is humming.
Yeah.
You know, and like everybody's behind it now.
Yeah. Which is good. Okay. So when and where is the Moonshiners Ball?
So it's October 11th through 14th in Rockcastle County. This is our third location. We moved it to Rockcastle. We've been in Estill County. We've been in Madison County.
Okay.
We're in Rockcastle County this year. It is super beautiful. It's right on the Rockcastle River.
Nice.
You can, like, there's a little beach area where you can go out into the river, or you can, like, there'll be services that'll take you up to drop-off points and provide you with, like, you know, stand-up paddle boards or tubes and things so you can float down.
Very cool.
It's, you know, there's lots of beautiful places to camp or hang hammocks up in the woods, and there'll be two stages running music the whole time.
Wow.
We've got a ton of great Kentucky bands and some really awesome national acts as well.
Wow. Very nice. That's impressive. Do you want to say anything about it?
Lots of female-fronted Kentucky bands.
Nice.
I even made
there
the joke,
are, yeah.
joke to Travis one time. I was like, it's like Bluegrass Lilith Fair.
Oh,
which I love, too.
That's true. We got Jocelyn and Magnolia Boulevard. Sonora.
Mama Said.
Mama Said.
Yep. I feel like there's more. I know we're missing some.
Yeah.
Blind Corn Liquor Pickers.
I was going to say you all.
Not Kentucky, but River Wireless. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely, there are quite a few. I'm sure there are more that we're missing.
What are some of the national acts?
So we have James McMurtry, who's out of Texas.
No way!
Yeah, I know.
Oh, dude.
Who I just love, you know. Oh, he's one of my all-time favorite songwriters. So
absolutely.
It's the first time, like, I feel like there's, like, a legitimate, like, musical hero of mine who's, like, on the bill.
That's awesome.
I mean, there were lots of, like, musicians that I really think are awesome, but this is, like pantheon-level hero for me. So it's, like, I've been listening to for 20 years.
Yeah.
And so he's the headliner, and then we have two of what I think are just the absolute hottest party bands in America. It's Moon Hooch on Saturday night and Turquoise on Friday night.
Nice.
And Moon Hooch is like a three-piece, two saxophonists and a drum, and they play what seems like and feels like EDM, but it's all done with actual instruments.
Wow.
The drummer is like an alien, and both sax players are awesome. They'll do crazy things like jam traffic cones down in their sax bell, so they like so it comes out like huge.
Oh, wow.
And people you wouldn't even think would dance are just boogieing down.
Everybody dances to Moon Hooch.
It's
just like, they're like puppet masters. And then Friday, the Turquoise on Friday night is like a nine-piece out of Brooklyn. They have a full horn section on one side. They have a dancing backup vocalist on the other, and then like a straight up funk band in the middle. And they just like, they play with, I think they call it like power funk, was what they call it. But it's like, it's kind of like 80s, like dance music, Talking Heads kind of dance music meets like George Clinton and P5.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. That so it's a lot awesome. Of fun.
Yeah. Wow. And that's an incredible
And they're
lineup.
Dressed up in the color of the rainbow. Like each one of them is monochrome, but there's like, the one on the far left is red, and then orange, blue, and
yeah,
hair dyed and everything. It's crazy.
That's so cool.
Travis puts a ton of love into picking the bands for Moonshiners, has since the start, and it's one of the things that I think makes it the most beautiful. It's, yeah, so much time and effort and attention goes into making the perfect lineup each year.
That's great.
Yep.
It's really hard, because there are a lot of bands to choose from right now. Like, Kentucky's on fire, and, like, we had to leave out a lot of bands that we would love to have had, you know, just to narrow it down to a manageable number.
Nice. Okay. Other than Moonshiners, give me real quick what's coming up for Blindcorn Liquor Pickers after tonight.
That's a good question.
I know. We never know.
Okay.
We've been rolling this way for years too. Like,
we guys are kind of spread out, right?
We are. I am in Cincinnati, and not only Cincinnati, Northern Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Ben's in Louisville. For me to get to practice on Tuesdays, it's been a 2-hour drive with rush hour. And so, but every year right before Moonshiners, it's just, we want to be our best on that stage because we put bands we really love there and we want to be deserving of our spot. And so we put lots of time and energy into making a set that we're very proud of. So I think after Moonshiners, and this even happened last year, our summer was just pretty much dead. We're tired. Can we take a break?
Yeah.
You know,
hibernate for a while.
And this time it's actually synced really well because it goes right into winter, which has always been like a hibernation period for the Blindcorn Liquor Pickers.
Yeah.
It's just that none of the outdoor stuff's happening. Like for bluegrass bands, it's kind of a dead.
You guys are totally a festival band. You like people could dance in.
Yeah. We like to think so. Yeah. But yeah, I think the way we've been playing it for years, if people ask us for a gig and we're like, oh yeah, this would be a good one, we say yes if everybody can do it.
Yeah.
And if they can't, we don't. And we don't really search them out. We, you know, like.
Yeah, so to be organic.
For sure. And that's just kind of how Blindcorn is. It's very like, it's very organic. We all love each other. We love the music that we're making, but we don't have these like delusions of grandeur where it's like, you know, the CD, the album's going to sell all these copies and da-da-da-da-da.
Quit your day job. Yeah.
Yeah, no, I love my day job. Love my day job way more than I love performing.
Had those delusions of grandeur at one point in time. You know,
yeah.
Okay, probably we did, but like, at this point, you know, it's been a while.
Yeah.
So, yeah. We've settled in.
Yeah. You just keep music for what it is. It's fun. You love doing it. I love being surrounded by my band. I'd rather have it in a living room than I would be on stage with them, but you do what you have to, you know?
And like,
Beth doesn't live for the stage experience, but there are others in the band who I think that's the highlight. So it's, you know, it's keeping everybody happy. But at this point, I think those who need more have their own projects as well.
Right.
Yeah. So a lot of the younger members like are in multiple bands or they have their own solo projects. You know, like Jory plays a whole bunch of shows under his own name, Jory Bowling, and Thomas is in Dad, and he does lots of theatrical performances.
He plays with See the Beat.
He does play with See the Beat, who's also going to be at Moonshiners this year.
Nice.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, and Ben now plays with Big Atomic in Louisville. So, yeah, we've got, you know, those who need, like, regular shows and sort of more intense sort of performing experience, like, get that somewhere else, and that's fine.
Yeah.
You know, but Blindcorn just kind of does whatever, like, we all think feels right and doesn't push too hard for much more than that anymore.
Yeah.
Well,
it must be working if y'all have kept some configuration of it together for 18 years now.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, we like each other. I think that's it. And it's, you know, there's not really much to fight about. We're not on the road together.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's like, yeah. you know, we all come into this understanding we're not doing it for money. You know, yeah. like, there's not, right. it's just yeah. a...
Dividing things eight ways can't add up.
No, yeah, there's no way to make money as an eight-piece local man.
We don't yeah. really, yeah. I mean, we do have spats from time to time. Mainly, it's about set lists.
Yeah.
like, but that's, yeah. you know, easy fixes most of the time.
Awesome.
Yeah, so yeah.
Cool. All right. Thank you all so much.
Thank you, Kara.
Thanks, Kara.